Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text comes from Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. We pray. Lord Jesus, we confess our failings. Failure to love each other and failure to love you, and we pray for strength to know once again what genuine love is and looks like, to not only give but also to receive from you and from each other. Pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It is a very rare thing to have genuine love, isn't it? When I think of this genuine love, I think of going to shop for a car. All the car salesmen will come out and pretend to really care about me, right? And come with all these things about, you know, why I really need this car, and I don't have the car, my life will not be the same. Can't help but wonder, does he really care about me? Maybe when you're at a restaurant, you go out to eat, and the servers and the waitresses are so kind to you. They order, take your orders and get all your food. And you have to wonder, do they really care about me? Or are they just doing that to get a tip? Or because they're being paid, right? See examples of it all over, really, if you think about it. It's naturally for humans to love in order to get something back, to get something in return, right? And so sometimes it's hard to see if it's really genuine when you know somebody is going to be receiving something back, like money, in return for what they're doing to you. The thing is, love is against our nature. It's what we need, it's what we're created for. But as fallen people, we want to do the opposite. We want to love ourselves only. It means we only look out for ourselves and only think about ourselves. And only do things that will make ourselves feel good or to be comfortable. Or to advance our own plans or desires. That's our nature, what it means when we confess that we're sinners and unclean. And we see this because even in the most noble people, you have sometimes they do what seems to be very unloving things. Even in the greatest politicians or leaders, sometimes scandals will come up and I wonder, how did they do that? Well, Jesus in our gospel reading, he had to rebuke Peter for doing something unloving. Peter was going to try to stop Jesus from accomplishing his mission. And Peter was one of the disciples in the inner circle. There were three disciples, Peter, James, and John, right, that Jesus would keep in kind of his inner circle of all the 12 disciples. He had walked with Jesus. He had seen his miracles. He had just before confessed who Jesus was, right? Remember last Sunday, or maybe the reading where Jesus, Peter confesses that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus commends him for such a rock-like confession. He says, on this I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And the very next scene we have Peter being filled with pride, to now being called Satan himself. Point for us is this. If even Peter can be caught into doing something unloving, even with good intentions, even as one of the closest followers of Christ, why do we think we are so incapable of falling into that trap? Something to think about. Because when we think of love, we often have the wrong idea about what love is. Right? The Bible tells us that only love is found in knowing Jesus Christ. It says that this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, gave His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That God loved the world, and He gave His Son. You see, as Christians and as Americans, though, we often think about love in terms of, I really love that thing because it will give me something back in return. I love that person who comes into the restaurant because I know he's going to give me a good tip. I love that customer because I know he's going to buy a lot. I love that person because they always say such nice things about me. I love that child because they're so smart and make me look so good when I'm with my other relatives. I love my spouse because, you know, they're with me. Promise never to leave me. But again, it's only when we look at Jesus that we figure out what genuine love is. Genuine love really involves suffering, doesn't it? It involves self-sacrificial love, as Jesus is going to demonstrate. It puts the other person as more significant than yourself. Puts their needs in front of your own needs. The reason why Peter had such a hard problem with what Jesus was saying is because Jesus was saying he's going to suffer. He's going to die. In Peter's mind, too, he didn't understand how suffering could cause love. But Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he's teaching us about what it really looks like. You can't follow Jesus and pretend to do it on your own. You can't follow Jesus and think it's going to be easy. Rather, Jesus says, if you want to follow me, take up your cross and deny yourself. Follow me. Take up your cross, deny yourself. Deny what you think is right. Deny all your hopes and dreams. Deny everything you believe. And let me fill it with what is true and what is good and what is of value. In our nature, we can't see genuine love because we often don't experience it. But you see, it's in knowing Jesus that we experience and know genuine love in its fullness. Genuine love knows its priorities, doesn't it? It doesn't get mixed up. It's not deterred when suffering comes. It stays steadfast to what is important, what is most valuable. That's why Jesus gives us this example of what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, forfeits his soul. Have you ever seen The Price is Right in the high or lower game, right? You have to guess if the thing is higher or lower. So you had a tuxedo and a diamond ring, which would be higher? What would you pick would be higher? The cost. The ring, right? Yeah. It's like around $1,200 ring. Only $63 for this tuxedo. How about the rain in the car? Car, right? Yeah? It said it's around 25,000 to 67,000 if you, depending on what features you get, right? Then we have a car and house. House, right? Do you know how much this house is worth in Rochester?
300.
Oh. 800,000. $800,000. It's a lot of money, isn't it? Would it be nice to own that house? It seems easy in our eyes to determine what's most valuable, doesn't it? What Jesus is saying is basically, you could own this house and every house in the world and all the money and all the banks, and it still won't be worth more than this. It won't even come close. Isn't that strange? See, as broken people, we not only have trouble understanding what love is, but then what is valuable and what's most important. And that's why a life in Jesus is one that truly sets us free to live the abundant life. So I want you to think about right now, what is it in your life that you are afraid of losing? What are you afraid of risking? What are you afraid of giving up? What are you afraid of doing or not doing because of your faith? I want you to ask yourself this question. Is whatever you're losing or afraid of losing or don't want to give up worth more than this? Is your pride worth more than this? Is your money and your sense of comfort worth more than this? That's a crazy thing. Most doctors say that people would rather die than change. Isn't that a scary thing? That people can even know the conditions of their hearts and their things that they're doing that are just damaging and destroying their bodies. And a lot of them won't change. They'd rather die. That's the power of our sinful selves. That's why Jesus says, deny yourself. You are not a good leader, but I am the good leader. You do not know genuine love, but I know genuine love. You do not know what's best, but I know what's best. You don't know what really lasts, but I give the only thing that lasts. I give eternal life. I give forgiveness. We give the ability to be able to stand on the last day when the Son of Man returns in His glory. You know what's going to happen, don't we? Sure, as the sun rises, Jesus is going to return one day. And He's going to repay us for everything that we've done. And you can either be forgiven for all of your sins and have life with Jesus, or you can reject Jesus now and not have life with Him for eternity. When we put things in that perspective, is it not as easy to say what is higher or lower as it is to do these pictures? The key is we just forget the eternal perspective. You forget the spiritual things. And that's what makes things clear for us about what to do. All Peter could see was the life of Jesus in the here and now, right, on earth. Jesus said, "You're a hindrance to me, Satan. You have in mind the things of man, of this world." So many of our problems come when we want to focus on the things of the world and are afraid of losing those things we can see. But there's so much more. Jesus had to teach Peter, no, it's not just about this life. It's really about the next life. I'm going to suffer and die a horrible death, yes, but it will mean your life. I'm going to give up everything as I walk these 33 years of my life here on earth, but it will be so that you can possess everything. I will die so that you can live, Peter. That's why he had such strong words for Peter. Even when we think we're doing what is loving, if it doesn't align with the words of Christ, it is not unloving. It is hateful. It is of the devil. That's something that we should take seriously. The other thing we need to think about is, what things do we really possess? Do we possess anything as people? How often do people take it, what they have at funerals with them into the casket? Isn't it a lie just in that? That you can actually possess something? That's why Jesus says, if you even possess the whole world, it won't matter. Why? Because it's going to go away. It's not going to last. But your soul, but your life is eternal. But this lasts forever. Whether we believe or not believe or have a relationship or not a relationship with Jesus, has eternal consequences. So who cares if we have to give up some money for a few years of life, or go through some pain, or go through some suffering? Are we really going to think about those things on the day Jesus comes back? So sorry, Lord. That was so stupid of me to follow you instead of, you know, just taking more money. That was so silly of me, Lord. Why did I go through ridicule, you know, and trust you? Boy, that was stupid. Will we say that? No. We'll see that it's true. We'll see that it's vindicated. We'll see Jesus was right all along. And the world was not. The devil was not. And so what is the ironic thing? When we think we are loving, we are actually hating a lot of times. When we think we possess so much, we often don't possess much at all. When we think we're finding our lives, we think we're losing. We're actually losing our lives. But if we lose our lives for Jesus, then it will look like we've lost everything. We actually have everything. We have eternal life. We have the favor of God. We have the joy and peace that knows no understanding. We have the one with us. He protects us and delivers us, as he did Jeremiah. Jeremiah was with us. Very rebellious house of Israel. But God was with him, and he used it to teach him about what his purpose was here on this earth. It's not to make yourself feel good. It's not to accumulate as much as you can. It's to give up as much as you can for the name of Jesus, for his glory. And so that's why As Christians, we're able to love genuinely. We don't have to read Romans 12 and say, oh, okay, well, I guess this is just how I know all the ways that I'm not genuinely loving people and I need to confess to God. No. Jesus says, I've poured my love into your heart through the Holy Spirit. This isn't about you anymore. You are something new, something beautiful, something with an eternal purpose. And you're to reflect my love to the world. So let your love be genuine. Live in peace. Live in harmony. You pay no one evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. Does that not sound like the character of Jesus? Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Be connected to Jesus, there is always hope. Even in the worst tribulation. Even when the world says the worst things. There is always hope. Because Jesus has overcome the world. He's overcome all the evil and all the death and all the suffering. So we can be patient. But it's hard. Can be patient. Because we know God is making something good. We know God is working something eternal. We know Jesus has already overcome. So, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy and love, let your love be genuine for one another. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.